Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Be a Warrior Podcast. I am your host, Angie Huser. It's that time once again to unleash the warrior within you. Are you ready? Then let's get started. Well, hello everyone and welcome back to Be a Warrior Podcast. I am so excited. We are now in April. We have Limb Loss, Limb Difference Awareness Month. And in the past, my past several seasons, I've always brought on very inspiring amputees that have just kind of jutted us forward and showed us what they've done, how they've overcome the obstacles, not just becoming an amputee, but the obstacles of being an amputee to rise above those challenges. This year, however, I've got a completely different spin, and I am bringing on sensational people I'm so excited for you to meet that have been innovators and inventors that have been helping our community, whether or not they are amputees or not. Some are, some aren't this month. My first guest, I'm so excited to introduce. She and I have been talking back and forth for probably about a year now, and she's been very patient with me getting on, but this is her time to shine. And I'm so excited to have Amira on, the co-founder and, or no, the founder and the CEO of Theravee. And that is a product, and I'll let her tell a little bit more as we go. But Amira, thank you for coming on and welcome to the show.
And thank you for having me, Angie. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to share my story. I'm really excited to talk about my dream.
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to hear about it. I mean, you and I literally just talked a little bit back and forth. I was interested in the product. The irony of this is I think I have, knock on wood, been very lucky not to have a lot of phantom pain. But your invention is to deal, and you can see her t-shirt, phantom pain is real. And I love that because no one can see that kind of pain. No one can really explain it. And Amira is actually not an amputee. And so Amira, let's just start way back in the good old days when you were just a little girl. What kind of things, where are you from? What kind of things did you love doing growing up? What did you think you would become? Just tell us a little bit about you. Let us get to know you.
Yeah, so growing up, I always wanted to be an engineer. So my dad's a civil engineer, and I'm a daddy's girl, the only daughter in my family. And so I just wanted to be like my dad, but I knew I didn't want to build bridges or do transportation like my dad did. But I always loved the idea of technology enhancing the human ability. So favorite movies growing up, RoboCop, Power Rangers, like things where humans were using technology to give themselves superpowers, basically. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to build basically the future RoboCops of the world. So that's what really got me interested in like the prosthetic biomedical engineering space. And that was what I studied at the University of Delaware. I studied biomedical engineering and I got the chance to intern at a prosthetic clinic. And I saw that as an opportunity to build the future RoboCops of the world. So that's really where like this whole journey started, was me trying to build really high tech prosthesis.
Very cool. Help, okay, superpowers. So and it's funny because three of my four interviews this month are East Coasters, which is kind of funny. I really think that might be a hub that might be telling us something, that might be a hub in the biomechanical realm and the inventing realm. And I know it is a very huge and growing college degree. Like there is a lot of the youth coming up that are intensely going towards the prosthetic and the whole amputee world. I mean, our worlds are being so much more enhanced and we can live better lives. And that's so cool. So did you grow up East Coast?
So I was born in Nigeria. And that's really where my dream started, was basically watching RoboCop, as I said, Power Rangers, Inspector Gadget as a kid. And when I came to the U.S., I was 9 years old. And when I got to high school, I started looking into ways to really combine engineering, biology. I did really good in biology and medicine together. My dad wanted me to be a doctor. I didn't want to be a doctor, really. But so I found a way to combine all three. And that's really how I end up finding biomedical engineering by chance, and then learning a little bit more about the prosthetic world.
And how far did you go in college? Do you have your undergrad? Do you have your master's? Do you have your P? Where
So
are
I
you
have
at?
a bachelor's in biomedical engineering,
Okay.
and then I have a master's in entrepreneurship and design. So when I came up with the idea for therapy, I was an undergrad student. I was a junior undergrad student. And then when I graduated, I got grants from the university to pursue my idea through the entrepreneurship program at the University of Delaware.
Interesting. Now, just out of curiosity, when you were little, did you see a lot of amputees in Nigeria? Did you,
No,
were you
so
a, where did that come from?
the first time I saw anyone with an amputation was when I did my internship in college.
No
So
kidding.
I had never seen someone with an amputation, believe it or not. I know, isn't that very interesting? Not that I can recall,
Yeah.
but when I did my research on the prosthetic realm, and this is what even got me so excited about working in the prosthetic field and studying biomedical engineering, was that at the time when I researched prosthetics, I saw this really cool Paralympians, right? People who are like running and sprinting. They had really cool gadgets and like blade legs. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. Like, you don't really see the non-glamorous, or I did not see the non-glamorous aspect of living with an amputation. So for me, it was just the glamour part that really drew me
Yep.
to the space until I worked at the prosthetic clinic.
Well, and it's interesting that you say that because doesn't social media also do that? You see all the glitz, the glam, the success stories. And quite frankly, and I talk to a bunch of amputees. I have an amputee women group that we talk, and the common everyday person struggles so hard with their fit, their ability to walk, their control, their pain. That is probably 90% of the population, 95% of the population. But what we see on social media that we get hit with is all the amazing success stories. Thus, the reason why this year I'm focusing on the people that are trying to better our lives. The common person who's got an amputation, whether tragedy, disease, elective, we all will experience phantom pain sometime in our lifetime now, right? And
Definitely.
all varying degrees. And it's really hard to put a number on that. Because of course we all deal with pain differently as well. I think pain is such a mystery, and I applaud you for even trying to can help control that for people to make life bearable, because it does really, that is, I think, the biggest disability of being an amputee is the pain aspect.
Yeah,
And
it's
that
just such
really,
a big problem. Yeah.
it is very much so. So when you went and you did your internship, you said you were with a prosthetic company.
Yeah. So the way it all really all started was when I was a junior undergrad. I also ran for the women's track and field team at the University of Delaware. I was a scholarship athlete, and we had to stay on campus during the winter session. We couldn't go home because we were competing. So everyone gets the holidays, and we didn't. And I was like, no, this year I don't want to just run track. From the winter, I want to take classes. I want to do something. And my biomedical engineering program had a course called clinical immersion, where basically you get put in different places, hospitals, clinics, to for a whole month to
Yeah.
find clinical unmet needs and come up with a solution. That's really how my journey in therapy began at the university. And I got placed at a prosthetic clinic because that's what I wanted to do. So they were one of the sponsors, and it was Independence Prosthetic Orthotics in Newark, Delaware. And so I got the chance to work and shadow like almost every single position in the clinic, from the admin to the technicians to the prosthetist. And I got to interview the patients that came to the clinic to find like, what is your biggest problem? How are you solving it? Has it worked? Why not? Et cetera. And I was not expecting people to talk about phantom pain. It's just some like I while I was at the clinic, I was shadowing a prosthetist. Like, we had a patient that came in and was just like, hey, I feel like my leg is on fire. I feel like I'm getting re-amputated. And I'm just looking at them that your leg isn't there. Like, what, why would you feel that way? For me, it was something I'd never heard of before. And I spoke to the prosthetist about it. I was like, what is this that, there's this patient is talking about this pain that they're having, even though their leg isn't there. And that's really when I started learning about phantom pain and doing my research about it and seeing how big of a problem it really was. So I started interviewing more patients that were coming to the clinic about phantom pain. And I learned that it's a big stigma around it. A lot of people weren't talking about it. They weren't talking to their physicians about it. They weren't talking to their doctors about it. They were barely even talking to their prosthetists about it because they said that I feel like I'm crazy, right? I'm feeling pain in a limb that's no longer there. And some of them decades after their amputation. So a lot of people weren't talking about it. Like, oh, my family thinks I'm crazy. My doctor told me that I'm perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with me. It's all in my head. And for me, that's really what's got me more curious about this pain and trying to figure out, okay, what are you doing? Why is it or why isn't it working? And what can we do to make it better? Especially a drug-free alternative, considering many people were explaining how they were using opioids, Neurontin, gabapentin, Lyrica, antidepressant, anticonvulsants to help them with their pain. And I was just really inspired to try and figure out what is a better way that was drug-free, an alternative adjunct therapy that can help improve their lives.
And you hit that n the nail on the head right there, because the people that I do talk to, if they have a flare up, they will list all the drugs they're taking to get through it. And for me, I had years of knee problems, knee surgeries from an accident that in karate, and decided after a blood clot and everything else, 5 years, 10 surgeries, that it was going to get rid of my leg. So I chose to amputate. And I first thing I want to do was get off any drugs. Because I was on pain meds for 5 years, because I had like 2 to 3 surgeries every year. And, you know, when you're barely recovering from one and going into another, you're never really off it. So it makes me sad to see so many people having to rely on things that I know is a band-aid, a temporary, because they come and go. Phantom pains will come and go. I don't know. I'm sure now that you've experienced and probably talked to a lot of people, you understand that. Someone even 20 years down the road, never really having phantom pains, maybe sensations, can all of a sudden have a whacked out week of intense, out of the blue phantom pains. And it's frightening. Actually, it's kind of scary because you don't know if and when it'll end. You know, and so that I think that's the only thing that's ever stressed me out. I've had probably 4 episodes in 5 years, and I've now learned. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Just breathe through this. It'll be a couple days and it'll settle. But people that don't,
That's
yes. Yeah.
the sad
Right. I know. I know. So, okay. So tell me, you went in, you talked to these people, you started hearing about the phantom pains, you started getting really curious about that. What were the first steps then? Take us through, what does it take to create something for production? From a thought, an idea, and talking to people that are going through something that you have never experienced. What did you do next?
So it was a long process, years of work, and I'm still working on it. But I'm very thankful to have had the Horn Entrepreneurship Program at the University of Delaware. They were the ones that really motivated me to pursue this idea. They gave me grants, funding. They sent business competitions and grants my way to apply for, which I was able to receive over the years, raised over $500,000 in actually developing the product to get it to where it is, all from grants and business competitions. And basically, they taught me how to go out to speak to my potential end users to really learn, is this a real problem that needs a solution? How are you solving, like I mentioned earlier? Is it working? Is it not working? Why? What is the alternative out there? How is my solution going to help them? Go back to the end user with my solution when I was prototyping, get their feedback, see if it's something they're going to use or not. Before I even go into trying to spend my time, money, resources into developing a product or even starting a business, my goal was never to start a business. I thought I was going to graduate, work in industry, or go to grad school, and then really just live my everyday 9 to 5 life. Really, that was my goal in life. That's what I was going to do after graduating. But really, this took like a whole different took me in a whole different direction. And I'm very thankful for that, right? I've gotten to meet some amazing people. I've got to hear some incredible stories, people who've persevered and really learned about like how strong humans can be. And so really what happened was that while working, while in undergrad, I was in this program. I got funding. I traveled all across the US to prosthetic clinics, to amputee support groups. I can't remember how many MT support groups I called and contacted to try to attend their conference. I even tried to attend some virtually, and this was before COVID. So a lot of them weren't virtually, they were in person. Now a lot of them are virtually. So I got funding to like fly to Texas, to Florida, to really meet people in person and really learn about their pain and how we can go ahead and solve that problem. Initially, therapy started out as a vibrating sock. I was like, oh yeah, people with amputations wear socks all the time, so it's just going to be a vibrating sock. And a lot of the feedback I got was that nobody wanted to wear another sock on their limb. So it ended up transforming because I went to speak to the end user about my their problem and my solution. I was able to find what would work best for the majority of people. And that's really how therapy came to be.
And so how many, you had to have probably gone through studies and bringing people in to try things out, see what worked, what didn't work. You know, how long a process is that? And how many people do you think you kind of used in your study group, your baseline?
So, because I was still like a student at the university, it was very hard to actually do a study with the device. So, a lot of the evidence that we collected earlier on was anecdotal. As I attended these amputee support groups, I took my prototype. I've been to different iterations of my prototype. As I said, from a sock to the band that currently is, there's a lot of prototypes in between. But I went to the different support groups. I gave the device to a few people to try. They got back to me and said, like, okay, this is what you need to do to improve. This is what is good about the device. I tried different vibrations, frequency, amplitude, had people give me the feedback, like, oh yeah, this does nothing. Yeah, this actually does something. So it was really just getting that feedback was how I was able to get to where I was. And then I used those as testimonials and evidence to get further funding from business competitions, as I mentioned, to get the product to where it is right now. And then we had some few prosthetic clinics. We had a few prosthetic clinics also use our device and give it to their patients and then have their patients give them feedback and they give me feedback. And then right now we have some physical therapist clinics that are actually currently using our device with their patients and giving us feedback, as well as doing research with their patients
That's
with our
good.
device. So it's been great to have that support because once
Right.
when you're like a single founder, you don't have a lot of connections in the research world. Like you're not a PhD student, like that's completely different ball game to try and get
Right.
funding, resources and help to actually do a clinical study because those cost hundreds and thousands and millions of dollars to do. And as a startup, it's very challenging to get funding to do such big research. So the community has been very helpful in giving me the feedback, testimonials and anecdotal evidence that we needed to move forward.
That's incredible. And I mean, that's a huge undertaking, truly. And like you said, you're constantly reinventing, reinnovating what you're working on, right? I mean, your product is Theravi. It is the company, it is the product, it is your end result is to help with minimalizing phantom pain, which then would bring me to the end user is truly just amputees?
Yeah,
Or
so
do you
that's a good
see it being,
question. Yeah, that's a very good question. Because when I started, people with amputations were the reason I started this, right? This is why I saw the most immediate need for this. A lot of other pains had like other solutions that were out there, especially with pharma, right? A lot of people had like products or they had other products that they were using. And it was it's such a big space. Pain is such a big market and such a big space to for somebody. To even like for companies, big companies to even enter, let alone a small startup like mine. So I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna focus on the community that I spent years doing research with, get this device out there, see how that helps. And depending on the kind of feedback I get, we might be able to enter into other types of pain because phantom pain is a type of nerve pain, right? It's due to nerve damage. Once you get an amputation, your nerves are damaged, they basically be cut. And so now we're looking into using the device for other types of nerve pain. We have customers that have used the device to help with neuropathy and to help with also nerve pain that they've had due to Lyme disease. We've had some people that have used it for restless leg syndrome, not something that I thought about. So that was interesting. And then we've had some people that have used it for arthritis. And it's just like one or two people that have reached out to us about using our device for something else. And we let them know, we're focused on people with amputations, but if you want to try it,
However,
give it a shot and let us know. And so we've gotten some feedback from like one or two patients in that type of pain field, or who are feeling different types of pain, like different types of nerve pain. And then now we're currently looking into CRPS, as another form of pain that we can potentially treat our device because we do have some amputees that have that. And so they're currently using our device. We have a physical therapist and a physical therapy clinic in Florida that's currently trying to use it for research with her patients that have that type of pain as well. So things have been transforming and changing organically, which is great.
Well, I think that's actually a good way to go about it too, right? When you try to force something and you try to broaden, sometimes you lose your focus. But I mean, when you talk about that, like I have a neurotransmitter in my back. I've had it in since I had a leg, and they said, you know, this could help with, I was having a lot of there was nerve damage after all the cutting open and the knee replacements and things I had. Now, it unfortunately did not do well in helping with phantom pain, like they thought would be a good thing in case I went that direction, and it was too much, and I've been afraid to turn it back on. So it's just kind of sitting in there and waiting on me. 'Cause so I know that there are things that can handle your kind of product with people that actually have their limbs, and that was the reason why I went that direction. 'Cause I mean, I know where your aim is. But I bet that's gonna really change in the next, you know, 5, 10 years. I would get, I think it's gonna start to, for people that are really, there's such a high volume of people that are very against taking pharmaceuticals, and they want something else for the answer. And so I think you're right on that market. Well, I'm gonna show, I have her product. That's how we first met, was me reaching out to her saying I'm interested, which, like I said, is the irony is I never really have had major pains. So I haven't even been able to really give your product a huge shot at it, because for me, my leg is on 24/7, except when I'm sleeping. So the last thing I want to do is try to stay awake to try out something. So by the time I take it off, I'm like, I'm out. Like, I've had a hard day, I'm out. And the only thing that'll keep me up is, it's almost like when you brought up the restless leg syndrome. You know, my mom had that big. I remember her talking about that growing up. And that's kind of what phantom pain will do in the quiet of the night. It'll make you feel like you just can't get comfortable. And so I haven't done it, but I did want to show people how neat this packaging is. It's very travel size. We travel a lot. It's a great thing to take with. And it's a very simple product, but I want to know how you came about the idea of using this. Oh, and the Velcro. Sorry, I got it stuck. This goes around the end of my limb. And what's really neat about it is these pods here. These are the things that vibrate, that give the vibration waves in different waves, right? You have like a couple different, and it's on
Definitely
an app. The app is very,
frequency
very,
pattern. Yes.
yep, you very user friendly. I mean, really user friendly. And you wrap this around the area. For me, I do know that when I have the phantom pain, it is an internal towards the end of my residual limb. And so when I put it on, and so you can see that she has different pockets you can put those in as you wrap this up, those pods can go wherever you need them once you wrap that around your leg. And they attach to this little tiny device right here. And it hooks up with the app, which is really amazing. How did you decide that? What is it with the vibration and the intensity and the frequency of that vibration? How did you come about finding that out to
That was
help?
actually by luck. So when I decided during my clinical immersion course that I wanted to focus on trying to find a drug-free alternative for phantom pain, I was looking at massage because when I interviewed a majority of APTs, I would say almost all of them who spoke to me and told me what they found that has been helping them was basically tapping under residual limb. And they didn't mean like a nice tap. They mean like they were whacking it on their limb, like a little towel, and it would smack on it until the pain would go away. And I was like, how long would you do that for? And it ranged from like minutes to seconds to hours. And some people would just like, till my hand gets tired or I get tired enough to fall asleep. And for me, I was like, that just doesn't seem like right. 89-year-old Betty is not going to wake up in the middle of the morning at 3 o'clock with phantom pain and just hit her limb till she passes out. Like, that's too much. Is there a way to basically automate that tapping to help with the pain? And that's really how this all started. And so when I was working out at the gym at the University of Delaware, I ran into a vibrating platform that the school had just purchased. And this was at the same time I was trying to figure out how to basically automate the tapping. And I was just curious about the machine. I was like, what is this vibrating plate that's on the floor? I tried it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so cool and so intense. And that's really when I had my light bulb moment. I was like, you know what? This could actually be a solution to help with phantom pain. So I started really doing my own research on vibration therapy, helping with pain management. At that time, this was in 2014, I really couldn't find a lot of papers, or really maybe one or two papers that talked about vibration therapy and phantom pain. And it was like a doctor in Sweden that did this research, like in like the 80s or something. It was a long time ago. Like, it never, there was no one else writing about this. And I thought that was very interesting. And then I saw papers and published work on vibration therapy helping with other types of pain, like with osteoporosis, potentially help with nerve damage. But it was more of there was not enough evidence to make a conclusion, right? They had to do a bigger study. They had to find a device where they can basically keep the vibration consistent throughout the range of vibrations they were studying. There's a lot of things that go into play in doing that funding, right? But for me, that was enough evidence to at least give vibration therapy a try and see what happens. And that's really where I started. Again, I didn't have funding. I didn't have the resources. I didn't even think I could build the product, but it was the help of the community, the help of the people I met. I did a lot of pitch competitions, and people at those pitch competitions came to me and be like, "Hey, this is how I can help you. Let me connect you to this person. This is a real problem. I didn't even know this was a big problem. I didn't know this was a problem at all. I would like to help you." So really, that's why I was able to get to where I am. And with getting the design to where it is again was through the feedback that I received from the people I took my prototypes to.
Well, and it's interesting because as you're talking about this and I'm looking at this, and I tell you, I don't take my leg off until the evening. I usually shower at night, go to bed. If I'm feeling it, which sometimes I am after a hard day, everything's kind of taking that compression off. And it blows my mind that people said they didn't want a sock on because I will tell you certainly that you might not want to totally ditch that effort because I've talked to people that do wear theirs all day that at night when it's quiet and they don't have the pressure, they like that hug feel. The hug of their liner, their hug of their compression sock helps them go to sleep. For me, I wrap my good leg knee around the end of my residual limb if there's a, and I find a pressure point. And so I do know people that actually love the hug of a sock. And so it's kind of funny because yes, I can see if it's middle of the day, I can understand that. But that's really interesting because I think that there's so much value to this. Like I said, I really, besides a neurotransmitter, which is that's like implanting in your body, I don't know of any products out there that aren't narcotic of some sort or some pill form that you have to take all the time to calm. And quite frankly, I tried those at the very beginning and they didn't do a thing for me.
Yeah, that was actually
They
some of
didn't.
the feedback I got. Some people just said that it just made me care less about the pain. That's how they describe it. It's like you still have the pain, you just care less about it. And you don't want to be like such a zombie that you just like don't care. Like that's so that was really the question I was getting during my interview. But
Well,
to touch on the sock thing, I've been getting some recent
yes.
feedback about trying to bring the sock idea back. I mean,
Yes.
the band, we did design it where it's like a almost like a tourniquet in the sense, right? You kind of pull on
Yes.
it and just add, because compression is very important
It is.
to helping with phantom pain management. I have learned that through my interview. People are wearing shrinkers, or wearing something to really compress on their limb during the night or during the day, especially when they take off their prosthetic, if it's not just to keep volume, but to also help with their pain management. So definitely still toying with that idea for
Oh,
this.
yeah, don't lose that one. I think that's a gem for those of us. I mean, like I'm a mom, so I need to be alert. I don't have the luxury of taking medication to I'm a go-getter. I'm constantly moving.
Exactly.
I want to be able to drive. I don't want to be pulling that off my plate because I took something to help with that day. You know what I mean? And it is. And it for me, it's like talking to you right now, I can feel my foot buzzing. And I'm good with that. Like you get used to it after, I mean, it's been 5 years. You get used to it. That's just what it is. And it kind of helps me know that my foot is below me. So I think it's kind of God's way of saying, hey, your foot is, you're in the right spot. Even though you don't really have a foot, it's in the right spot so you can step, you can walk, you can jump out of the car or whatever. But at night, I'd be the person that would roll something on, and that compression, it there is, there's something really comforting, and that just pulls those nerves and just settle down now,
Yeah, we have
right?
encouraged our customers to wear, if they're wearing a shrinker, to keep wearing their shrinker to add that added compression. We do
On
have people
top.
that do that. Yes, they do wear their shrinker or their liners, but mostly their shrinker, especially if it's at night,
Yeah.
before they would wear the device around to add that added compression
I
as well.
like that. I
Yeah.
like that. Well, and
One of
like I
the
said,
feedback, oh, sorry, go ahead.
go ahead. No, right ahead. The
One
feedback.
of the feedback that we got early on was the idea of giving this to people who've had their amput who have recently had their amputation, because they haven't really tried anything yet. So looking at therapy as a way to try something drug-free
Right.
first and see what works before going to drugs and invasive surgeries and implants and all the other things. So I thought that was interesting, especially with the whole desensitization
Yeah.
process that you
Yeah.
have to go through right after your amputation. So using vibration to also automate that phase.
Yeah. And I wish that I could tell you that it's so nice that once you heal that things kind of settle. And yeah, there are some settlings, but the reality is it comes and goes. And actually, I was just talking to our lady group last night, and we talked about how stress plays a huge part in phantom pains that can it can really
Trigger
put
it.
us for, yeah, it can totally trigger that. I mean, we each talked about just our life and what we're going through. And when you're like, oh, well, you're going through that, well, that would explain why you've had a bad week. And I had this, and yep, that would explain that, why that. And then I've had where I've had pinched nerves in my back, and that will do a doozy on phantom pains. That's actually my worst phantom pains have come from like almost a sciatic nerve pain. And it shoots down the leg, and I think with the where the nerves are, the it throws its hands up like, I don't know, even know where to go with this, because there's no it's it, they're not there. I don't even know what to do. And I think it just ba-boom. And the worst ones I've had is when I've had a sciatic pinch, and it runs down the hamstring, and then it gets lost, and it just explodes down there. It's crazy.
Yes. It's
And
funny. I've heard that description too. Like everybody's description is different, but the same. Like you'd hear
right.
the same description over and over again, but with different people. And it's
Yeah.
just so interesting how everyone describes it. I think I've even had two people describe their phantom pain as like, do you know, like labor pains when you have a kid? Like I was like, you know that description I've gotten. I was like, yeah, I've had three children. Like I understand
I know that one.
now
Yeah, right?
description. Yeah.
That one I got.
The aching. So it's very interesting, like how a lot of people describe their pain in a similar way. That's how you just know how real this pain is. Like it's a real
Yeah.
pain that people are going through.
Okay, so where are you at now with Theravi? Like, I noticed you about a year ago, and I noticed that I'm seeing whispers of you here and there on social media, where I'm seeing you're starting to get out there. What do you see, or what do you envision, and what do you want for the future of Theravi? Where is this going?
So my goal for therapy really was to get a product out there that was actually helping people, in the hopes that somebody else would be able to see the potential in therapy and either invest in therapy to really be able to reach more people, or take therapy to the next level, either through a distributor to get it to as many people as possible. That's really what we're working on right now. We're also working on adding other products to our line that also really just help with living with an amputation, like helping people with amputations find comfort after their amputation. Be it like, we just had we have our like our fuzzy nub socks, right? It's like
Yeah.
a sock that you wear around your decision line to help keep your limb warm at
Yep.
night, right? We have our we have like other people that we're talking to in the space about potentially working together and creating like a product line to help amputees make their life easier after an amputation. So a lot of things is a pain after you
Yeah,
have an
right.
amputation, even if it's just learning to tie your shoes can be a
Oh.
pain again, right? And so it's really, I've learned so much over the years. Like I have a whole list of problems people say they have after an amputation, and
Okay.
trying to come up with a solution for that, or finding other people who are entrepreneurs that have come up with a solution, and then working with them to try and bring this product to as many people as possible. But that's really where we see therapy. Right now we're working on getting more of the actual device that we have out into the market. We're hoping we can collect some information and data on Phantom Pain, which is currently not available anywhere. Is there a pattern that you see across the board with our customers who have Phantom Pain?
Yeah.
It's de-identified data, so we don't know who we're getting data from or the information from. It's just basically how often it's being used, what the frequency is, what the pain level is, and seeing if we can see a pattern in the hopes to apply for government funding to do more research on phantom pain. There's just not enough research being done on phantom pain or enough products being put out there in the community to help with phantom pain, especially a drug-free solution. So that's something that we're working on right now. But our end goal is to be able to provide a line of products to help people live better after their amputation.
Yeah, that's great. And I do know, I would say that you are now starting to see a normalization of phantom pain. It's just like you said, the data is not there from the years prior,
Yes,
because like your shirt said, a lot of people were like, that's not a real thing. You're just,
exactly.
you know, your brain is tricking you, but it really hurts. And there are times when you can have a shooting phantom pain that can zap you like an electrical shock. Over and over again to the point where you feel like your foot that's not there is becoming almost raw from
Yes.
getting hit so many times. And I literally have to touch the bottom of my leg and go, brain, there's nothing there. So it's not, but your brain's so powerful, it still knows there's been a foot there for me for many, many, many years. And it's just not turning that off, you know?
Exactly,
So
exactly.
I know in the next 5, 10 years, the data is going to get. It's going to be ramped up because I do believe it's become more normalized.
Yes,
At
there's
least
more people, definitely more people in that who
are
have
talking
past
about it.
7 to 10 years talking about, especially on social media now. I'm seeing a lot of people
Yeah.
explaining what phantom pain is that they're
We
going
just
through.
need to make sure we get some data on that so that there's
Exactly,
something for
that's the
people to
important
go
thing.
by. All right. So
Exactly.
then where can people pick this product up? Is it available for everybody, anybody? Is it financially doable for the average person?
Yeah, so it's available on our website, which is weartherapy.com or therapy.me. So theravy.me would get you to the website pretty easily. So you
Okay.
can purchase it directly on the website. The price point for the device is $300. And one thing we've learned is that a lot of everyday people who have amputations spend more than that, thousands, to help with their pain management. We try to keep it as affordable as possible, just to get the product out there as soon as possible and get more people using it. So again, we can collect this information and data to help further improve the product, and help further improve on the space. So I'll say, yeah, like your average person can afford it. We're open to breaking it into installment payments as well.
Oh,
And
that's
if
good.
we have a 30 days back money, if the device doesn't work for you, because we know not everybody is going to benefit from it. About
Okay.
88% of our customers have benefited from using our device. So we know not everybody benefits from it. There might be other things also that is, I would say, irritating
Yeah.
them and causing their phantom pain to be worse. And so we understand that, and we're open to making sure the people who are actually having the pain that can benefit from the device are getting it.
That's great. I love that. Well, and I will make sure that I put that website on the link when we go streaming with this on the first week of April. And Amiri, I so thank you for being on here and for being so compassionate to our community, even though you aren't even a part of that community, but you are an honorary member now.
Yes.
We are grateful for that, for people actually listening and hearing what a true problem is because really, it's not the amputation itself getting through the surgery. It's the life after
Exactly.
and trying to re recover some resemblance of a good life, a healthy living style starts with managing that pain without having to be so doped up on something. I mean, this is definitely worth people's looking into. I hope that you get a ton of people listening, jumping on to see and trying your product out. Like I said, mine's here. It's by my nightstand, so it's right there. I love the compactness because, like I said, we do travel, and that little bag was so adorable with your logo and everything. I can throw it in my suitcase, and it's with me. And by the way, I didn't tell people, but this little device here. The two plugs go there, and there is a charging port right here. And the charge, if it's on high, I think lasts a couple hours.
Yes, it
And
does. So
then.
on high, it lasts a little bit under 2 hours. On low, it can last up to 10, 11 hours. And it
And I
depends on
will.
what vibration pattern and frequency you're using.
Right. The more impacted. I will tell you that the high is so high. Like
For
you
some
are
people,
going to
they say it's
begin.
not high enough.
Yeah.
We actually
You're
went from
well.
10 to 7. We went from 10 to 7. We're like, we think this is too intense. We're like, no, you should have kept the 10.
Yeah, no, and it is like I tried it and it scared me to death the first time I did it because I thought, let's see. It is not a small little, it's not like this, guys. It's like
No.
wham, it's
Yeah,
hitting you.
exactly. We're
And
trying
so
to mimic the, you
yeah,
know, that
exactly. I love it. Thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for doing this and continuing you know, showing up and being there for our community. It is definitely an honorable thing you are doing and
Thank
I
you.
hope that you find great success with it.
Thank you for having me and for giving me the platform to share my story and journey.
What an amazing interview and an amazing human being. I'm so excited that I got to start this month of Limb Loss, Limb Difference Awareness Month off with such an amazing person as Amira. The Therapy, check it out on their website. I will put that in my links and, you know, show her some love. It's not easy breaking into the prosthetic kind of world and the medical world and the big pharma world with something that is to alleviate the phantom pains that we all get without medication. And try it. Like I said, I have it here. I haven't had any major phantom pains that I've needed to pull that out to find some rest and reprieve, but I have it and I'm ready to use it. It's always by my bedside. And it's great and compact for travel and getting around to wherever you need it to be. So I hope that you enjoyed this interview. We have three more amazing inventors and innovators coming up in the next 3 weeks. You don't want to miss it. So please make sure you jump on, subscribe to my podcast, or check out my website at beawarrior360.com. And make sure that you don't miss any of the future interviews that are coming up the next 3 weeks. You will not be disappointed. And I am thankful that you are on. I'm hoping that and praying that you have a blessed week. And as always, be healthy, be happy, be you.